Hello, world. I'm Greg Patton. Hey, it's a Friday. How's it going this week so far? Stay tuned. We got news and stuff right after this. Well, it was a fantastic time last night. Our second radio interview of the week nationally last night with Alex McFarlane. What a great Christian he is. Google him. Look him up. He's got a program. He does so many radio programs during the week. He wanted to talk about the demonic, but he gave us all of 15 minutes, which usually gives me time to get in my name and address and phone number. He made the mistake of saying, could you just give us a little idea there how you were saved, what happened? And the next thing I know, I'm halfway through, and he said, well, that's it. But it was good. He said, we're going to do some more programs together, my friend. I really like this guy. Hey, I want to thank you for praying for Greg Patton Ministries. We're going to put something on our Facebook page, or you can get in touch with me of those that would be willing to pray daily for our ministry, that God would use us. Not that he isn't, but it's so nice to know people are out there praying for you. Be a team member and just keep us in prayer at least once a day. Would you be willing to do that, my friend? Thank you so much for joining us today for Hello World. You know I love you. What in the world is going on? They say today is going to be the day, a decision on the future of President Trump's Georgia election interference case. It's imminent, they say. Fulton County Superior Court Judge Scott McAfee is tasked with deciding whether to disqualify Fannie Willis from the case against Trump and 18 other defendants charged with attempting to interfere with the 2020 election. The judge told local reporters on Thursday that his decision is forthcoming. They expect to hear something today. Boy, you wonder sometimes, people who dedicate their lives to a certain group of people in order to help, and then tragedy strikes. An upstate New York special ed teacher tragically died in her classroom along with her unborn baby, who was due in 4 weeks. Kendall Elementary School stated that 29-year-old Courtney Fannin found unresponsive in her empty classroom after school hours last Friday. Despite life-saving measures, both Fannin and the unborn baby declared dead. It is under investigation. It's a forgotten disease? No longer. A doctor witnessing the resurgence of measles in the United States has been deeply concerning to many. Once considered eradicated in the United States, measles has made a startling comeback in the last few years, and they say most recently in the heavily crowded migrant shelters of Chicago and other small pockets in the United States. Just one more thing, Joe. Thank you. The uptick in cases no doubt fueled by the combination of factors ranging from vaccine hesitancy to the congregation of people with low immune coverage. It's just one of the dozens of problems at the border. That squatter in the White House had more trouble yesterday. Biden's team quickly removed the press when he said that he would take questions at an event in Saginaw, Michigan. A big mistake for this guy. And social media users blasted the scene. Biden visited Saginaw to push his reelection campaign and speak to volunteers supporting his bid for another run in the White House. The trip included a visit to a 131-year-old Victorian mansion owned by members of the Saginaw City Council and the public school board and blah, blah, blah. At the mansion, Biden stood on the porch with his back to members of the press when he could be heard saying, can I take a couple of questions here? A woman in the Biden-Harris jacket said, we're going to take a few questions, whereupon staff immediately started putting their arms up and walking toward the press saying something like, thank you, press, we're all done, back to the cars. This is the guy running. They don't want him to say a word. What a buffoon. And he is the leader of the free world, huh? Don't let him answer any questions, for crying out loud. Where am I? That would be a good question. God grief, Charlie Brown. Hey, Joe, tell me again how wonderful things are. According to a new report published by Real Estate Data provided by ATTOM, which found that there were 33,000 properties in February with foreclosure filings, which include default notices, scheduled auctions, bank repossessions. That marks an 8% increase from the prior year, although it is down 1% from January. Oh my goodness, what is happening? Home foreclosures are soaring all over the country. The top five states, Indiana, part of all of that, yes, South Carolina, Missouri, Pennsylvania, Texas, and Indiana. Five biggest problem zones for foreclosures. Oh, and we really need this one, right? As if a full-scale invasion of this country across our southern border wasn't serious enough with millions coming across. More routes are now being opened up between Colombia and Panama that will enable millions more of illegal aliens to make their way to the United States through the dangerous Darien Gap. That according to a veteran war correspondent. A few months ago, Army Green Beret Michael Yon, a war correspondent and an expert on weaponized migration, began to report on the secretive construction going on for bridges and a new road deep inside the dense 66-mile jungle called the Darien Gap. A clear path between Panama and Colombia has long been envisioned, even though for decades the dangerous Darien Gap jungle between the two disconnected highways has served kind of as a buffer against hoof-and-mouth disease, screw worms, and a human invasion of the north. Well, no more. They're putting it together. Joe must really be excited. Okay, who do you think you are, Schumer? He's calling for an election in Israel to replace Benjamin Netanyahu. In a speech on the Senate floor yesterday, Majority Leader Chuck Schumer said Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is no longer fit for Israel after October the 7th. Really? And yet you think that Joe Biden is fit for America, right? I'll tell you, where is my gun? Steve Mnuchin wants to buy TikTok. Former Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin told CNBC that he's assembling the Avengers, putting together a team of investors to buy TikTok just a day after the House passed a bill that would ban the app if its Chinese owners doesn't divest it, get rid of it. He headed the Treasury Department under Donald Trump from 2017 to 2021, now runs an investment firm called Liberty Strategic Capital. We'll see. You know, I think it's probably just me, but NASA and all these private companies are spending billions of dollars trying to get things together to go to Mars and actually send people to Mars. Why in the world would we want to go to Mars? Who would want to go there? I don't know. I'll say again, it's probably just me, but I think all these people are from Moronville. Hey, let's do this. Living in today's world, comes from you and about a farmer. And this is some great advice, whether you're a farmer or not. What are they? What's the advice? Oh, lots of them here. Your fences need to be horse high, pig tight, and bull strong. Keep skunks and bankers at a distance. Hope we don't have any bankers living. Life is simpler when you plow around the stump. A bumblebee is considered faster than a John Deere tractor. Words that soak into your ears are whispered. They're not yelled. Meanness doesn't just happen overnight. Forgive your enemies. It messes with their heads. Do not corner something that you know is meaner than you are. It doesn't take a very big person to carry a grudge. You cannot unsay a cruel word. Every path in life has a few puddles. When you wallow with pigs, expect to get dirty. The best sermons ever are lived, not preached. Most of the stuff people worry about ain't never gonna happen. I agree with that. Don't judge folks by their relatives. Oh, for sure. Remember that silence is sometimes the very best answer. Live a good, honorable life. Then, when you get older and think back, you'll enjoy it all over a second time. Don't interfere with something that ain't bothering you none. Timing has a lot to do with the outcome of a rain dance. If you find yourself in a hole, the first thing to do is stop digging. Sometimes you get and sometimes you get got. Okay, the biggest troublemaker you'll probably ever have to deal with watches you from the mirror every morning. Oh, yeah. Always drink upstream from the herd. Good judgment comes from experience, and a lot of that comes from bad judgment. Letting the cat out of the bag is a whole lot easier than putting it back in. If you get to thinking you're a person of some influence, try ordering somebody else's dog around. See how that goes. Live simply, love generously, care deeply, speak kindly, and leave all the rest of it to God. And don't pick a fight with an old man. If he's too old to fight, he'll just kill you. Boy, now, that's something to think about. And most times, you know what? It just gets down to common sense, my friend. I had an associate pastor. I've had more than one who's had their earned doctorate or two. In one case, the guy was just doing some really goofy things, and one day he hit his son in our lobby with a coat hanger. And I just went to his wife and said, "We got to pray about this." She said, she just began to cry, and she said, "My husband is absolutely brilliant, loves the Lord, knows his Bible, but I'll tell you what, so very often he just lacks common sense." A word to the wise is sufficient. Here's something we can all identify with. Chinzi Phillips, she's an American singer, songwriter, actress, member of the group William Phillips Band, and she is the daughter, and some of you remember this, Mama and Papa's, their band members, John and Michelle Phillips. But she identifies with so many Christians listening to the program today. How? Well, she has admitted that many of her friends, if not most, have rejected her over her Christian views. Weeks after she revealed that her love of Jesus had taken tolls on her marriage and her friends. She's 56 years old. She converted to Christianity in 2022, and she spoke out about how painful this is to have her family members, friends, coworkers who don't share her religious views rejecting her. She described knowing that some of her loved ones haven't been saved, and it's debilitating and crippling. While chatting with a friend of hers, Beckett Cook, recently, just knowing how many people around the world are not saved, it's actually torture to me, she said. When you think about it too long, it can really start to play games with your mind, and that's true. Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. This gal explains that she was saved in 2022, and this one usually doesn't work. She sat down with all of her friends to try to convince them to get saved. But in the end, she said many of them rejected her newfound faith. And finally, who said that? New retirement program. Some of you seniors out there, give this a little consideration. Here's what we do. We move to Mexico. We give up U.S. citizenship. We come back across the border illegally, and we're set for life. Hey, snowflakes, if you're going to afford to spend thousands of dollars there on spring break, you can pay back your student loan. And looking at a grocery store ad, it is the real state of the union. A pound of bologna, $8.99. Well, forget that. Where's my Bible? I need to go there. Right after this. Just joined us? Thank you. Ask earlier. Going to do it one more time. If you might pray for us every day, Greg Patton Ministries needs you, my friend. And with our new book out, InvisibleWarOnTheSaints.com, wow, the enemy is vicious. Pray for us, my friend. Be a partner with us. Would you do just that? We are very, very grateful. And let me just thank you in advance for your prayers. May God richly bless you. Let me ask you something. Do you think that you could do a better job of praying? That you pray for friends and family only when there's a crucial need? Or do you ask God to show you how to pray for those people around you on a daily basis? You know, many people wait until there's an emergency, there's a death, a serious illness, some crucial decision that needs to be made, and then we pray. The Apostle Paul was aware of the physical needs of the early church, yet he chose to pray most intensely for their spiritual growth and well-being. I'm sure he prayed many times for their physical care. No one was more sensitive to the needs of the early church than was Paul. He heard the accounts of abuse at the hands of the Roman and Jewish officials. However, in the opening chapter of the book of Ephesians, we find Paul praying for something much greater than deliverance in suffering, that they would gain wisdom, number one, and number two, a revelation of God's character. He asked the Father to give these early believers and us today an insight and knowledge that exceeds anything that we have ever known. Now, isn't that something? What? Gain wisdom, a revelation of God's character. And for this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus which exists among you and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and a revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what the hope is of your calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? Ephesians 1. When overwhelming trials come your way, and they do come to every one of us, I'm going to have oral surgery here in a few minutes. That's not going to be fun. Praying about it, sure. You know, the one thing that saves us from mental collapse and all the troubles of life is the knowledge that God is with us, right? I mean, think about it. We can understand anything when we realize that God is never, ever, ever going to forsake us, never leave us, never walk away from us, never stop loving us. Paul's prayer was a prayer of power and of specific direction. It went straight to the point. Many times we wander around in prayer, God, please bless Aunt Martha and keep Uncle Joe safe on his travels today. Those are very nice prayers. Yeah, they are. But they sure lack depth and energy. It's much more powerful to ask God to infuse his wisdom and strength into the lives of those around us. And here's a key, my friend. God gives direction to our prayers as we ask him to show us how to pray for others. He gives both wisdom and discernment as we submit to his leadership. He uses prayers to meet people's needs, open doors, change attitudes, and mend those broken relationships. The potential of prayer is really limitless when guided by the Spirit of God. And here's a real truism today. All of us need prayer. I know I do. We all need someone to pray for us because we live in a fallen world where temptation lurks on every side. I was so excited. I put on my Facebook page from one of you, your mother-in-law, a Catholic, unsaved, dying. We put that on our prayer list yesterday, and my goodness, dozens and dozens and dozens of people all over the country began praying. Isn't that great? We need prayer. You know, the first step to praying effectively for another person is to pray specifically. For years, people have written or called to share how they're praying for me and the ministry here, Greg Patton Ministries. Many times their prayers are right on target with something that I am facing. I think, Lord, you knew exactly what I needed, didn't you? And you've guided this person to pray according to your will for my life. Our God, don't miss this, is a God of specifics. His desire is that we learn to pray specifically for the needs and the spiritual growth of others. Paul's prayer was very specific, very powerful. In a short amount of space of time, he asked God to do something absolutely life-changing in the lives of the Ephesians. You know, the most powerful activity you can participate in ever is prayer. And that's why you need to think through what you're praying for in another individual's life. Nothing so moves the circumstances of life as prayer does. You know that's true. Prayer motivates God to accomplish His will. Of course, He can do this without your prayers, but we miss a tremendous lesson of faith. It takes faith to ask God to work in another person's life. People who have a hard time believing God for answered prayer usually have a very weak faith. Great faith looks to God for His best and His direction. You know, Paul's prayers were comprehensive, and they were very rich in quality and making big requests. Pray for something that you could never do. Oh, that's faith. These people were not loaded up with large words and theological terms, but dealt directly with spiritual issues critical to the life of the early church. They contained ideas that made a real difference in the early believers' personal walk with the Lord. When you pray for others, do you visualize God working to bring that person or persons into a closer relationship with Him? Paul wanted believers everywhere to experience the fullness of Jesus Christ. And you know, a third aspect of Paul's prayer was the magnitude of what he prayed for. He asked for, oh, big things. Yes, he did. You might want to read Colossians 1, 9 through 12. He prayed for believers in Colossae to be strengthened and empowered according to God's glorious might. He never prayed, God, just strengthen these people so they can get through this difficult time now. Oh, no, he prayed for a specific need. Paul is caught up in the truth of God and not in the hardship of his surroundings. He wrote to the Ephesians, the Colossians, during a very difficult time of his own. He was in a prison in Rome, but he never mentions it. There's no hint of self-pity. His understanding of God is so mighty and with such magnitude that he knew the quality of his prayers must reflect the quality of God's desire for his people. God's still on the throne. He's doing things today, my friend. We need to discover the will of God, learning to walk after the pattern of the Lord, bearing some spiritual fruit, growing in the knowledge of God today, and coming into complete understanding of His power and His strength. And if we teach our children how to pray for specific needs, and they teach their children, imagine the magnitude of godly power that's going to be released. The emphasis of Paul's prayers to the Colossians and Ephesians is on power. Paul wanted the people to experience in a very practical way the surpassing and indescribable greatness of the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit of God, and you and I need that today. He prayed that they would walk relying upon supernatural strength and the energy of the Holy Spirit of God. If you don't know how to pray for someone, begin with the prayer there in Colossians 1, 9 through 12. God is committed to answering that prayer. When you pray for a friend, family member, co-worker, you can count on God to work in that person's life. When we get serious about prayer, God notices and blessings are going to come. James 5, 16. Oh, I love it. The less I pray, the harder it gets. The more I pray, the better it goes in life. How about you?
And finally, well, this one's for all of us, maybe especially you older folks listening. After a health scare, this guy said, I hugged my wife and I whispered, honey, if something happens to me, the presents in my closet are all yours. She whispered back, if anything happens to you, everything in your closet is mine. Why, that makes sense, right? Is this Friday, I hope? It has been some kind of week, my friend. I'm getting better, talking about health-wise, for those of you that have prayed for us. I pray you have a great weekend. You're in church on Sunday. Hey, could you join me on Facebook, please? Greg, G-R-E-G, Patton, P-A-T-T-E-N. Will you pray for us? Thank you very much. And that's the way it is. Friday, March the 15th, 2024. I am Greg Patton. God bless you. Have a great day.